This week on Creator Upload, TikTok is going to be the next LinkedIn, among many other things. A company raised $26 million to provide metal credit cards to creators, and a Facebook exec gets a better gig.
Welcome to Creator Upload, your creator economy podcast. I am Lauren Schnipper.
And I'm Joshua Cohen. Lauren, you're trying to hire some people at Jelly Smack, right?
Indeed.
Have you considered TikTok?
Using it for recruiting?
Yes.
Excellent question. Don't know. Ask the recruiters.
So this has been in the works for a while. TikTok announced it a few weeks ago, but finally it's live. TikTokResumes.com. And I got to say, this is something that's come from a platform that I'm the most excited about and think is the coolest offshoot I've seen in years, if ever. I just absolutely love this. Okay, why? Because one, there are so many people creating content these days. Two, there's only really still a finite amount of space for content creators to make a living. I mean, those opportunities are growing, but not everyone creating content purposefully on a schedule on these social video platforms are going to be able to make a living doing so. But that doesn't mean that the skill sets they have from doing that aren't super desirable for other companies, especially as more and more people start creating content and more people are spending their time on these social video platforms. So I just love this. Like, for instance, do you know there are 26,000 now YouTube channels that have over 1 million subscribers?
I did not realize that number, no.
That's a big number, but also a small number. We have this analytics product, Gospel, which is kind of under wraps now. We'll be opening up soon. Don't worry, it's awesome. You'll hear a lot about it from me, I'm sure. But we're tracking millions of YouTube channels right now, and we're adding anywhere from 20 to 50,000 new channels every single week. So there's just this glut of content creation that's happening.
When you say that, you mean like you're discovering there are 20,000 new creators that should be within your system every week. I just want to understand what that means.
Right. So we have several million channels we're tracking right now, and we have consistently for the past couple years been adding at this rate of tens of thousands of channels a week that we're finding. And it's not because we aren't expansive in the first place. It's because there's these new channels that are popping up all the time that are starting to get some form of traction. But only a fraction of these people are going to be able to make a living from doing content creation. It might be a cool side hustle for them, but the appetite for brands, advertisers, marketers, companies to get people that know about this ecosystem, that know about content creation, that they're able to make cool stuff online, is only going to grow as the space gets bigger and more attention from both creators and consumers is on it.
I don't remember. Do you have to have some sort of following to participate in this recruiting? Because I was just going to say, I'm not even thinking about this just for sort of creators. I just think this is where the kids are. This is where the young people are. So if you want to recruit the young, great talent, then go to where they are, which is TikTok.
Totally. And also there's been viral stories that come up on the internet every, I don't know, several months, several years about someone that had this really cool, innovative way to do a resume. Like there was one individual engineer that bought Google AdWords for people that would be his bosses, directing them to his CV resume, the site he designed, which was just ingenious because he figures everyone Googles themselves sometimes. When these people that I want to work for Google themselves, they'll see this ad for them. They'll go click on my site and they'll be blown away by what I have to offer. I'm sure there's other people that have gotten jobs off of the TikToks that they do just because other employers have seen them and be like, yo, dude, you should come work for us. But now setting up this in a more formal capacity, I just think is ingenious, really super smart. You're going to get people that are talented, that are creating cool content. I love it. Some of the people that are already on board in terms of brands, I mean, everyone from Abercrombie & Fitch, Attention, Chipotle, Detroit Pistons, Meredith, NASCAR, Rody, Rumble, Shopify, TikTok, obviously.
So these people are posting their jobs, when you say on board, posting their jobs via this feature.
Yeah, there's 33 brands right now on TikTokResumes.com that have, each brand has basically several job listings that you can submit for via TikTok. I just think this is so cool. I'm in love with this.
It's so smart. And I also just think it's one of those things where you're just like, how is everybody not doing this? And it just, what it screams to me too, is just like how all the social media companies for the most part are kind of lemmings, right? So like audio became a thing and like everybody's like, all of a sudden it's like audio is super important. And you have people like Zuck, like talking about how like, it's always been this really critical thing. Everybody's obsessed with creators now. Zuck again, critical, love creators, always want them to be able to make a living, which we know, like I want to bang my head against a wall whilst very excited. It's like, if this gets any legs, which I think it will, I guarantee you will see all of these, you know, platforms being like, we just want young people to get access to the jobs that are out there. Like, this is where they are. And it's just like, I don't know. It makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. And I just feel like platforms, frankly, like TikTok and Snap have been, if you think about it, like, I mean, there's not that many platforms, but it's really been TikTok and Snap that have been like setting the trends that then everybody follows.
If you look at this from a business perspective too, I mean, Microsoft bought LinkedIn in 2016 for $26.2 billion. Microsoft's, you know, market capitalization has obviously ballooned since then too. LinkedIn's value has probably grown along with it. This could like reasonably be a competitor for LinkedIn for the next generation.
Yeah. I think LinkedIn is like shaking in their boots. No, for sure. I mean, I think it's like, we're going to start seeing like annoying TikTok features on LinkedIn. I mean, they already have stories, but I can't wait till I can do my like 20-second pitch of like why you should hire me on LinkedIn. It's coming, guys. I promise you. God help us.
100%. And I think that TikTok is the perfect format for this. No one wants to sit through a 3 to 10 minute interview reel. If I can get a sense of what someone I could potentially hire is doing in 60 seconds, I'm down. Love it.
I love them. Brevity is the name of the game. All right, let's start with some big stories. Let's talk. Actually, there's a lot going on with TikTok. So there's something called App Annie. And what they do is sort of analyze the ecosystem of mobile apps, right? So they did this report that was called The State of Mobile. And what they discovered was that in the US, people who use Android phones now spend an average of 24.5 hours in TikTok per month compared to 22 hours per month on YouTube. And like, that's a huge sort of shift. And the reason why it seems like it's maybe it's all a lot, right? 2 hours. But if you compare to like in 2019, Americans were just spending 16 hours per month on TikTok versus 21.5 on YouTube. So if you think about that, the growth of TikTok has been exponential relative to the growth half an hour of YouTube. Huge moment, right? There's a shift going on. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast would be surprised to hear it, but it's interesting to see it sort of spelled out. Couple other things that are going on. TikTok, they are starting to do 3-minute videos. Why is that significant? Because that is an amount of time that allows for advertising to happen in the middle of a video. So usually maybe after a minute or so, you can place an ad in a video. So they're testing out and they're launching 3-minute video.
And along with this feature, which I'm glad they're announcing too, some users are seeing it already, video time tracker bar at the bottom of the video that you can toggle through the video now, where you couldn't do that before, which is so frustrating with TikTok. TikTok is a great app for entertainment and education, but not a very good app for how-tos. Why? Because I have to watch the whole video over again if I miss a step or do something. But now that they're adding one, longer videos, and plus that they're adding the ability to basically like fast forward and rewind or go to the space in the video that you want, it's a welcome addition. I think it's going to do really well. It'll be interesting to see if it's on smaller videos too, if it's on videos under 60 seconds. Not quite sure how it's going to pan out. They're doing tests right now, but a welcomed feature may have implications for how people interact with the app too. Like, I think part of why people are getting these crazy view counts is because the necessity to watch something on loops over and over and over again if you want to see it, where now maybe instead of we'll see a drop in kind of viewership, but an uptick in time spent on the video, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
And then sort of lastly in TikTok announcements, they might be testing an in-house Cameo competitor called Shoutouts. There was somebody who like sort of discovered this, but basically it looks like it's going to be called Shoutouts. It's going to be a Cameo competitor. Right now, it seems that, you know, a user sends an official request to a video creator with a payment up front. The creator then has 3 days to accept the request. Once a creator has accepted the shout out request, they have about a week to send a finished clip to the commissioner per the order page. Completed videos are sent to users via direct message. I mean, Cameo, huge valuation, done really well, has the share of the market. But at the end of the day, kind of just a feature. I'll never forget Ross Smith calling me at when I was at Facebook. Ross Smith, of course, famous because he does all his videos with his grandma. I think he's really big on TikTok now. He was huge on Facebook. He calling me and he's like, have you heard of this thing called Cameo? And I had not. He was the first person that told me about it. He's like, you guys should really do something like this. And I was like, yeah, this is really interesting. And it made a ton of sense to me. There's been several people whose relatives have, you know, had bar mitzvahs and asked me to get, you know, said creator to do a little shout out for it. I did get Jacob Sartorius to do it for my niece. Bat Mitzvah and Logan Paul for my nephews. So I've done this myself, but it's been really nice because now when people ask me, I'm just like, just go to Cameo. In some ways, it makes it a little bit less special because you don't actually have to have a connection. Because part of the thing was like, how did you get Logan Paul? Now it's like, pay Logan Paul. He'll do anything. You know what I mean? And here's a way to do it. So I feel like That's my only like, our kids will never understand the idea that you actually had to have a connection to somebody to get them to do like a shout out in your bar mitzvah montage video. You know what I mean?
My question is Cameo actually worried about this? I mean, they had a $100 million investment earlier this year that valued them at over $1 billion. They're targeting $200 million plus in video sales this year alone. Is this just marketing for Cameo, honestly? Like, is there some value in having a centralized source where everyone, whether you're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Substack, whatever, can just go to this one point and that can be a locus for all kinds of shout outs?
Well, I'll tell you what the argument that Patreon made, right? Because you can ask the same question about Patreon when all these platforms started adding subscription. What Patreon would say to that is like, but this is all we do. So if you want to do this and do it well and like have all resources dedicated to this, there's no better place to do it. At the end of the day, might they have like a smaller cohort of, you know, folks that are on there? Potentially, but it doesn't mean that it's any less valuable. And if I were Cameo, yes, you're absolutely tracking this very, very closely and making sure you're innovating. But you're also like, that's your pitch, right? We are the main place that people go. They also have a major, you know, first to market advantage. So there's like a ton of people, obviously, that are already using the platform. And I also just think that one of the things that they're going to have that a TikTok's not going to have is frankly, like an older generation of celebrity, right? Like, you know, I think there's tons of people on TikTok, but it's largely obviously like kind of younger kids. And so I think that absolutely they're tracking it worried. I mean, yeah. I mean, like when you're internally at Facebook, you're not worried about competitors. Like people are like, oh, Facebook's monopoly, which I think in define what a monopoly is. I think we need to like expand that definition. No, are they the only like social media network in town? No. But when you have like a bajillion people on there, like, you know, you have influence that, you know, one other that doesn't have that would not have. So Facebook was shaking in their boots when Google came out with their social media platform and created a ton of features that replicated that. We were freaking out when Snap was like really, I mean, on our coattails, right? And so we were like, we were freaking out. And then stories came out and we kind of like, okay, I think we're good. We can all exist, right? So it's not worried, but I'm not worried about Cameo like going under because of this, but they have to continue to innovate for sure.
I feel okay for Cameo about this. I think this is going to be advertising for them and they're going to see if this gets any type of traction on TikTok. I would be rooting for that because then hopefully they've established themselves in the market long enough and have a big enough kind of presence and gravitational pull where anyone that's making any type of dough on TikTok because of this is going to migrate over to Cameo to find a bigger audience.
Potentially. I think that's a very optimistic perspective of this. I can imagine the leadership is in some way relieved because you're sitting there waiting for somebody to kind of do this. And you're like, okay, this is what it is. We got this, right? Like, it's almost like now we can like wrap our head around this and, you know, react accordingly. A couple years ago, Facebook got fined like $5 billion, but the stock actually went up after that because $5 billion to Facebook, it's not nothing, $5 billion, but it's not going to crush that company in any way. And now that you know what it is, everybody can move forward. So the stock actually went way up after that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I've decided if I'm at Cameo, I dig this.
Should I find out if they're hiring? I mean, like, what do we, like, are you want to?
Go over the TikTok resumes, see what's up.
Moving on, Carrot Financial. Okay, let's talk about this. Carrot Financial, they're a startup that offers a credit card tailored to digital creators. They've just raised $26 million. It's a little bit of a misnomer. Half of it was a Series A and half of it was debt financing. What's debt financing? It's when a bank gives you a loan for all intents and purposes, and they are using that money to cover the credit card expenses. So really like half of that is going towards, you know, investment back into the company. What's interesting about this, normally, you know, you get a credit card based on your credit score. And the problem for creators, and this is something I know Patreon is really, you know, dedicated to figure out as well, is like, it's really hard to get a mortgage as a creator. Like you can be making a ton of money, but like you don't have a traditional job. It's just, it's more difficult in these traditional financial institutions to sort of, you know, create a life for yourself with, you know, homes, credit cards, et cetera, loans and all that sort of stuff. So basically they use things like subscriber counts and, you know, how much money is in your actual bank and, you know, because you could have a ton of money in your bank and a really bad credit score and therefore couldn't get a loan where they're like, so they're using different kind of criteria in order to give people a credit card. It's doing really, really well. And they raised a bunch of money. And I think this is really interesting in terms of eligibility. Most cardholders are established creators and they have more than $500,000 in annual income and at least $50,000 in savings. So they don't have a set in stone kind of number in terms of followers, but they count YouTube subscribers or and Instagram subscribers. And sort of to your point, Josh, they want you to have several million TikTok followers at least, but you only think you need to have about 100,000 YouTube subscribers. And I think it's interesting because back to your point, if like if longer video exists on TikTok, people probably will watch a video less, but maybe spend more time. And that's kind of indicative of those requirements, right?
There are lots of financial services companies popping up in the creator economy, right? Carrot, Stir, and Juice are probably the three most well-known that are getting the most traction because they've gotten big dollars from venture capital firms. I love this idea. And I think the way these companies are looking at creators and the way that everyone should really look at creators are they're this new class of small businesses. And we've said this for a while, and I've said that for a while too, but I didn't really dig deeper into that. Where they are this new class of small business, but they're differentiated from previous small businesses because they don't have things like necessarily good credit or 1099 or a W-2.
Credit scores are such bullshit. You literally can have so much debt and have good credit.
Right. And you can have several million dollars in your bank account and not get a mortgage because you're not showing sustainable income. So lots of these companies, and Carrot included, is trying to solve for that. And if you think of creators as these newfangled small businesses or this new asset class or this like one demographic, they might all individually need different things. Twitch streamers need different things than YouTubers, need different things than TikTokers, etc. But if you zoom out just a little bit from what the individual creators needs, these people as a class need certain things. They need financial services. They need probably data and analytics. They need insurance. They need different types of workflow systems and small business infrastructure that isn't the same as the small business infrastructure that brick and mortar stores have used.
That's funny. I just got a pitch from my founder who is pitching like the Salesforce for creators.
Exactly. So I think that's really smart. And that's where some of the most successful companies we're seeing start up right now are going to be in this. How do we facilitate and give value to this new small business class in a meaningful way? And really love what Carrot is doing. They're giving one, some sick credit card rewards to creators, and two, some very cool looking metal cards as well.
Which really is what counts.
It's really what counts. You pull out a cool metal card with your YouTube logo on it. Like, how dope is that?
John, can we get one with our creator upload logo on it?
Yeah, I'll work on it. I know Eric, we'll work on it.
Okay. One of the founders said that they're, you know, looking to do like way more than just credit cards. They want to build like the Square for creative businesses. And, you know, they want to have a major financial infrastructure. And to your point, there's a lot of competition in the sort of fintech world for creators right now. There's also an app called Better that does like sort of tax prep for creators, because that's like a big issue, right? Like people are making a lot of money then when no taxes are taken out. And then the end of the year, they're, you know, these people are young and they're surprised to learn that, like, you know, You gotta pay some taxes, you know? So this is all great. It's creating infrastructure. All these companies are laying a foundation for sort of success for creators and ultimately like sustainable businesses. And I think it's really interesting and I'm supportive.
Yeah, love to see it.
It just reminded me of, I'm going to give a shout out to a fantastic creator called Bernadetta Knott, who actually worked at Instagram with me. She was on the community team and she was great. Worked at Instagram, sort of paid out all her college debt and then like took off and like traveled the world for a couple years. And then she's become this essentially financial guru. She's focused on, you know, giving financial sort of help and advice. She's genius and she's hilarious the way she does it. All these things are making it cool and, you know, encouraging financial literacy. And I just, I'm a big proponent of this. Let's have Berna on. Berna, I'm going to call you. We're going to have you on the podcast.
She's the CEO and principal financial hype woman. Love it.
I'm telling you, she's genius. She's so, so great. I'm like beyond impressive what she's built. She's actually been kind of low-key online these days because she got a book deal. She's writing a book. Josh, you know the cool thing about the internet in 2021? You can take almost any hobby or passion and turn it into a livelihood.
Take Alan, for example. He was obsessed with Dungeons & Dragons and was finding these interesting ways to make the game better and more expansive for the D&D community. Alan then turned that passion into a thriving powerhouse of a business with the help of our sponsor, Spring. We'll let him tell the story, though, and how he monetized his content in a simple yet really creative way.
I'm going to throw this right at you guys. I'm the Dungeon Coach, and I create YouTube videos on Dungeons & Dragons and how to play it in new and creative ways. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but before I did YouTube videos, I would watch videos literally in slow motion and frantically take notes of what that person was saying. But now I am that person, so I want to be aware of that. So I make PDFs alongside my videos. I thought this was something really important that I wanted to give my audience, but I had no way of being able to do that. I have no idea how to make a website, be able to upload stuff to it, and they can download stuff from there. So that's where Spring came in. So now with a lot of my YouTube videos, I have PDFs to go right alongside it. And all I do is go into Google Doc, type it up, upload that to an InDesign template to make it look real nice, and then upload it to Spring. And this is the craziest part. Everybody's seen that little merchandise shelf on YouTube videos, but to actually put a PDF there is absolutely mind-blowing that I'm talking about this product that I'm selling, PDF, and it's literally right there to click on. And since I've added these digital resources, my sales have gone up 10 times what they used to be, and 90% of everything I do comes from those digital resources.
That is right, PDFs, crazy. And you heard Alan, he's made 10 times more sales since offering those PDFs to his fans.
That's just one example of the many digital products you can create with Spring. Other ones, ebooks, recipe books, coloring books, music files, meditation files, and way more. With digital products, the adage is true. If you can dream it, you can make it.
Head to Spring to see what you can do and start creating. That's SPRI.NG to start creating. Okay, Josh, I have an upload, download. Do you have anything? What do you got? I got something. It was recently reported that investments in the creator economy sort of startup space have hit already halfway through this year to, wait for it, $1 billion.
Is that $2 billion just in 2021?
Yeah, first half of this year. That was reported by the Information website. And I just want to say that, how much do you think it was like 5 years ago? $0 billion? Zero. 2 years ago, maybe like 100,000, 200,000. No, it's mind-blowing what's going on. And I'm just so curious if and when the dust is going to settle and what it's going to look like and what all these companies are going to look like in like 2 to 5 years. It's just, it's really exciting. And I just want to say we've been here the whole time. And welcome to everybody.
Is it exciting? We've been here the whole time and even before time. But I think it's starting to get a little too hyped, honestly. Like, there are so many LinkedIn bio startups now that have raised significant amounts of money.
Oh my God. Every time you turn around. Yeah, Linktree finally, you know, raised a bunch of money so they can do something a little innovative, because God love them. They have the market share, but they've done nothing like for this whole time. They haven't done anything innovative. And so it's so funny you say that. I get pitched new LinkedIn bio startups all the time, and some are great and some are just like, what? And why? And the link?
So there's definitely parts of this ecosystem that are getting especially frothy. And I think obviously it's hard to master a LinkedIn bio, but seemingly pretty easy to start one. Whereas some of these fintech companies, probably very hard to start, very hard to master. Bigger potential upside too. So different areas of the space, I would say, are just getting a little bit oversaturated. We'll see how things shake out, but keep an eye on it.
Whoa. Okay, Josh, I was half listening to you. By half, I mean like not at all, because I just, this hot off the press, this is bananas. Fiji Simo, ladies and gentlemen, who's been at Facebook forever. She was the head of video. She's been the head of the Blue App, which is effectively the entire Blue App, is leaving Facebook after 10 years to become the CEO of Instacart.
That's wild.
Whoa, that is wild. Good for her. Badass.
Lauren, how long do you think this has been in the works for? Probably weeks, if not months. And does Zuck know about it? When does Zuck know about this?
Oh, a long time ago. I think I saw that she had joined the board of Instacart. So I think that she's been involved with the company, if I'm not mistaken, for like a minute. I swear, I think I saw that. Don't quote me on that, but I think she did. But she's been in Facebook for 10 years and really, really worked her way up. And she is fascinating. Wow.
It's just super interesting. I think like if this was in the works for such a long period of time, though, she's been in casual pictures with Zuck. She's been in formal pictures with Zuck. She's been a spokesperson for the company.
I don't know if it's been for a long time, but he certainly knew before she like posted this post. I mean, she could have told him, you know, a week ago or 2 days ago. He didn't just hear this on Creator Upload. He's known.
For sure. But I just think she's been such kind of an institution at Facebook, and they've been really pushing her. Like, she had an op-ed basically almost talking about how Apple's ruining the creator economy just 2 weeks ago.
She probably knew she was on her way out. So she was like, I don't give any F's. I'm going to just say what I think.
So congrats to Fiji. Very interested to know if anyone wants to give us an oral history of how this deal came through and when Zuck found out and his initial reaction. Would love to hear it. Lauren, I think that's it. See you sending coded messages to Fiji on your Instacart orders.
Specifically when I'm going like to Costco. There's like a lot going on there.
And if not there, next week on Creator Upload. Today's show was produced by Lauren Schnipper and me, Joshua Cohen. It's edited by Jason Kang. Original music is by London Bridge. You can check him out on Instagram at London Bridge Music. Make sure you subscribe to Creator Upload on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give us a rating, leave us a comment. We love to see it and really appreciate them. If you want to talk, hit us up at info@creatorupload.com. And if you like our show, please recommend it to a friend. If you love our show, recommend it to everyone within your purview. Thanks for listening to Creator Upload, and we will be back next week.